Chapter 5. We have a lead. Oracle's voice crackled in his comm. Bruce's heart stopped, and he practically slapped the comm button in his haste to connect. It had been almost 4 hours, and that was only since they'd found out about Tim's disappearance. Who knew how long it had taken for the police to arrive? Who knew how long Tim had been in the hands of the violent criminal who'd taken him? Or what had been done to him in the hours he'd been missing? The Joker had had Jason less than 2 hours. 4 hours running around the city as mad as the men they threw in Arkham, checking under every rock, checking every mob hideout they knew of, even going as far as to check the chop shops to see if anyone had pawned Jack's car, and they had found nothing. Until now. "What is it?" he snapped. A small voice in the back of his head, sounding suspiciously like Alfred, tutted at his lack of manners, but he would apologize later, when he needed friends instead of answers. Barbara took it in stride.
"Jack Drake's car was spotted outside an apartment in Crime Alley. One of the residents called it in. I've put the address into your GPS."
His frozen heart leapt into action, and he spun the car back toward Crime Alley. He glanced quickly at the screen that displayed the address of the apartment. He could be there in 10 minutes. He would be there in 5.
"Are you sure it's real?"
Bruce Wayne had publicly offered a substantial reward for any information that could lead to recovering Tim, and Oracle had gotten the message on every radio, social media platform, and news station in Gotham and Bloodhaven. There was a substantial incentive to lie.
"They texted a picture of the back of the car. It's not Photoshopped, as far as I can tell, and it has the Archaeological Association sticker on the bumper. It's real." "I'm half an hour out,"
Dick said, the roar of his motorcycle loud in the calm. Traffic parted in front of him as he gunned the engine, the drivers probably assuming that he was on his way to stop the latest rogue attack, not knowing how much more important it really was.
"I'll be there in 4 minutes.
4 minutes. He might have his son in 4 minutes, and heaven help anyone who tried to stop him.
Do you have the security footage?"
Barbara patched back in, keys snapping in the background.
"Almost. Give me a..."
Her line went dead, but that was a good sign. A few moments later, she was back.
"I've got them. There's one man, 5'10 to 6 foot, dark hair, white skin. I'm running his face through my programs, but the resolution is very low, and he's hiding his face."
"And Tim?"
Dick rushed.
"Alive when he was taken at about 5 this morning. He looks very out of it from what I can tell. Drugged or injured, but definitely alive. I'm tracking them through the building now."
"Only one kidnapper?"
3 minutes.
"There might be more inside the apartment, but there was only one person in the car."
The comms lapsed into silence for 2 agonizing minutes. It was all Bruce could do not to snap at Barbara to work faster.
"They're in apartment 2B. Good luck."
Jason's fingers trembled with restrained and aimless rage as they closed around the cold metal door handle. It took a solid 3 seconds for Jason to manage the muscular control it took to pull the door open. Why was he even here? Just because that damn replacement? The whip snapped in Jason's ears, today and years ago, and Jason shuddered. He was here because Timmy Drake needed the help that Jason had needed but never got. He was here because there was a hurt little kid in his apartment who was in horrific pain because his own father had beaten the shit out of him. He was here because he couldn't be trusted not to snap that little kid's neck. Jason practically fell into the gas station, clenching his hands into tight fists and scowling at the floor. He had to stay focused, get the pills, and then he'd get them to the kid once his vision wasn't swimming in Lazarus Pit rage.
Painkillers.
His mind thrummed.
Painkillers. Pain. Killers. Shut up.
Jason bit the inside of his cheek until the pang of iron snapped him back enough to let him take control again. The store wasn't very big, so he only had to stumble around a minute before he found the small medical section. There wasn't a very wide selection of medicine, so you'd be in trouble if you had pretty much anything but mild allergies, a cold, or an upset stomach. But Jason grabbed a bottle of the overpriced Tylenol, ignoring the green twist in his stomach and the memory of his mother, and headed for the counter. These painkillers were different, and he would be keeping tight control over them anyway. The cashier, a pot-bellied middle-aged man with bushy eyebrows and a twirled mustache, gave him a look. Jason didn't even bother to scowl and slammed the bottle onto the counter. The man took the bottle, and his eyebrows raised high enough that Jason wondered if he was going to catch them before they escaped. He glanced up at Jason, giving him a once-over, before he scanned it and whistled.
Looks like you've had fun.
What? Jason looked like hell. He couldn't even see himself, but he knew that he looked like hell. The man just chuckled and shook his head and the bottle of pills.
Must have been pretty rough.
Jason's frown deepened, because what the hell? Jason ran his still shaking fingers through his sweaty hair at that exact moment and realized how he must have looked. Sweaty, dazed, flushed, and shaky legs. He looked like a fucking idiot. Literally. Jason bit back a groan and mumbled a vague affirmative as he fished his wallet out of his pocket. The sooner he could get out of there, the better. The man didn't drop it. Instead, he gestured at Jason's jacket with a knowing smirk.
Couldn't wait for you to get it off, the man teased.
Jason looked down at his coat, the long scratches running down the front from Tim's fingernails. He forced back a scowl at the reminder. He liked this jacket, but there wasn't going to be any saving it. I was sleeping with my brother. Jason froze. The words just came out.
Brother.
They weren't brothers, though, because Tim wasn't Bruce's kid, and neither was Jason. He almost wanted to take it back, but then he'd have to explain so much shit just to not sound crazy. The cashier was looking at Jason in utter horror. Jason blinked and glanced behind him. Were they being robbed or something? What did he...
Oh, God.
Wait, no, I didn't. We weren't. He's not. There was no recovery. There was no way to take that back. Jason slammed a five down on the counter, grabbed the pills, and ran out of the store. Every flicker of green was completely swallowed by his furious blush. Bruce scrambled up to the second floor, outside the third window on the right, which would, according to the blueprints Barbara had brought up, take him right into apartment 2B's living room. He did a quick visual check, but the living room was empty, so he started on the window. The window was not only locked and armed, but it was also trapped. Bruce had to spend an agonizing 3 minutes to get the window open without setting off an alarm or triggering the high-voltage shock wired to run through the entire window frame. Luckily, no one came into the room and saw him, or spotted him from below and started firing. The still apartment was as worrying as it was convenient. He could sneak in more easily, but that also increased the likelihood of Tim being held directly by the hostile or hostiles. Anything could be happening to him while Bruce was finagling the window. Interrogation, torture, No. Tim was going to be fine. His son was going to be fine this time. The universe owed him that much. He was going to incapacitate the intruders, retrieve Tim, and take his son directly back to his home unless he needed immediate medical attention. It wasn't like Jack would miss Tim, at least not initially, and Bruce could make up a story for police that Tim had asked Batman to be dropped off at Wayne Manor instead of the police station because he wanted his friends. Finally, he pushed, and the window whispered up, and Bruce slipped inside. It was a tight fit, as most windows weren't meant for men of his size to climb through, and he'd definitely have to go through the door when he carried Tim out. A quick scan of the living room showed nothing. The room was completely bare, with no personal touches to clue him into who had taken Tim or why. The kitchen, similarly, was empty, but he would have expected that, There were four more doors in a tiny hall just off the living room, and he crept to them one by one. The first, a bedroom, was completely empty, too. No Tim, but no sign of anyone having cleaned up a crime scene, either. The next door was a small linen closet, stocked with a liberal supply of deadly weapons. Bruce's heart stopped at the sheer number of weapons that had been crammed into one closet. Most of them were guns, mostly handguns, but a few semi-automatic rifles, and at least one highly illegal fully automatic rifle. But there was also a sword, several dozen knives, a veritable mountain of ammunition, and what looked to be a torture kit. There weren't any empty places, though, which might indicate that any of the weapons had been removed to be used on Tim, and the box of torture supplies was tucked into the corner at the very back of the closet. They hadn't needed it yet, hopefully. Unless they just killed him. Bruce's throat tightened at the same time his stomach churned hard enough that he nearly threw up. Images of his other missing Robin flashed in his head, and even years later, he could still feel the shift of bones in a tiny body. No, he was getting Tim back if it killed him. The next room was the bathroom, which was clear as well. That left just one more room. Bruce forced down the aisle and approached the last door on silent feet. He couldn't hear anything from behind the door, but...
Batman,
Oracle said in his ear, her voice tight. Bruce tapped the side of his comm twice to send the silent signal of acknowledgement so she'd continue.
I have the kidnapper leaving the apartment 15 minutes ago without Tim.
Cold grief ran down his spine. Whoever had taken Tim must have known that he was Robin, or they wouldn't have taken him in the first place, and no one would be stupid enough to leave even a restrained Robin without supervision. Unless he was dead. Either there was another person in that room guarding Tim, or his son was dead again, and the room was silent. For what felt like an empty eternity, but couldn't have been more than a few seconds, Bruce stood there, terrified to open the door. But maybe Tim was only injured, badly enough that Bruce could save him, or maybe he'd have time to resuscitate Tim, or... Foregoing subtlety in his desperation, Bruce kicked the door down and rushed inside. For a moment, he couldn't even see Tim through the dissonance of what he'd been expecting to find and what his eyes told him he was seeing. There was no blood. There were no weapons or restraints. There was no guard. The first thing he consciously processed as a positive fact was the slow rise and fall of the blankets over Tim's chest. Then he processed the next fact. Tim was face down on the bed, his delicate features relaxed more than Bruce had ever seen them.
Drugged,
Barbara had suggested from seeing the security footage. Fresh terror welled in his throat, and Bruce rushed to Tim's side and threw back the blankets. But the split second of relief at the sight of Tim's seemingly untouched pants and a clean bed was instantly shattered when he realized that the white cloth over Tim's body wasn't a tank top, but enough bandages to nearly swallow Tim whole. What had they done to him? How badly had Bruce? Tim groaned and turned his face, nuzzling into the pillow with a kitten-like mule. Bruce forced down the guilt and tapped the button on the side of his comm to call in the others.
I've got him,
he breathed to Barbara and Dick, ghosting his fingers almost reverently over Tim's cheekbone. Tim turned his head slightly in a sleepy attempt to shake him off, but Bruce wouldn't let him.
I've got him.
Dick's breath hitched.
Is he...
alive, Bruce whispered hoarsely, his voice thick with emotion.
He's alive.
He was injured, but he didn't look that badly injured. Bruce could take him back to be treated by Alfred, let Alfred see him and be sure that he was right, and just have Tim home for a little bit before they had to hand him over to the police. He could also run a blood test and start on an antidote if Tim had been drugged with anything new.
Oracle, tell the police that Batman has recovered Timothy Drake alive and will bring him to Gotham General Hospital as soon as it is safe.
That would give him a near infinite buffer and would let him take care of the kidnapper before letting him out of their sight, risking placing civilian Tim into a public area where they couldn't defend him.
I'm still 20 minutes out,
Dick reported. Bruce shook Tim's head to wake him up since he didn't want to potentially hurt him by touching his back or shoulders.
The apartment is still empty. I'll remove Tim to the Batmobile and send it home.
Then we can take down the kidnapper together once you arrive. The police were going to have to remove the man in pieces by the time they were through with him. Tim half groaned, half whimpered at Bruce, and pressed his face deeper into the pillow. No, Tim mumbled like a disgruntled toddler. Despite himself, Bruce chuckled and brushed his fingers through Tim's hair indulgently. Tim, you have to wake up. Tim whined something incoherent at Bruce, but finally turned his head to look up at him. He blinked, once, twice, then sighed in contentment and closed his eyes. Bruce, Tim slurred. Bruce smiled at him and knelt in front of Tim, pressing his lips to Tim's forehead. It wasn't a kiss, not completely, but he could feel the warmth of Tim against his skin, proof that after every nightmare and those torturous 4 hours, he'd made it. This one, he'd save. This one got to grow up.
I've got you, Tim, he promised.
Always.
You don't need to be scared.
Tim yawned and started to roll onto his back, but then gasped and flopped back to his stomach with a pained cry. The injuries were on his back, then, so at the very least, Tim hadn't been injured on his stomach and then lain on those injuries in some sick torture, but someone had taken Tim, tiny little Tim, and hurt him when he couldn't protect himself. And for what?
Who hurts you? Bruce growled.
Tim raised his head with painful slowness and squinted at Bruce for a long moment. Bruce immediately noticed that one of Tim's eyes was far more dilated than the other, and he could see the edge of a bruise peeking out along the side of the face pressed into the pillow. Perhaps not drugged, then, but that looked like a nasty concussion. Tim whimpered and closed his eyes, wordlessly reaching out with one hand and flopping it around until Bruce laid his hand on the bed and let Tim catch it. Tim threaded their fingers together and held on tightly, like he thought Bruce might leave him if he didn't. Tim was always sensitive, though, and as concussed as he seemed to be, Bruce would need to take a gentler hand and more time to help Tim understand and give Bruce the answers he needed. Tim, Bruce said, softer than before. He combed his fingers through Tim's hair, and Tim shuddered.
I need to know who hurt you.
Tim groaned and shook his head. No.
Bruce sighed. Tim.
Tim suddenly lunged for... Bruce didn't even know what Tim had been trying to reach, but he missed everything, and his hand sailed past Bruce before flopping down to the bed bonelessly. It was hopelessly adorable, and Bruce was very glad his cow footage had caught it. He would be even more glad later when Tim was safe and in his own bed in Bruce's house. It's my dream. Tim's breathing picked up. You can't. I. A dream. Was it the concussion? Or was Tim drugged? Or dissociating? Either way, Bruce was unlikely to get anything from Tim without playing into Tim's delusion.
What do you want, Tim? Bruce asked.
I need you to hold me, Tim begged, reaching for Bruce again. Please, please, it's my dream, and... Bruce inhaled sharply at the panic in Tim's face and grasping fingers, and he couldn't deny his son anything in that state. Bruce slipped his hands underneath Tim's chest and lifted him up enough for Bruce to slip underneath him and sit down on the creaky mattress. Tim was so worryingly light, they'd need to feed him more once they got back. But he was so alive in Bruce's hands as Bruce lowered Tim carefully so that his head was resting on Bruce's leg. Please don't leave, Tim pleaded, digging his bony little fingers into Bruce's leg so tightly that it would definitely leave bruises even through the Kevlar. Bruce pat over Tim's head.
I won't leave you, Tim, but I need you to tell me things.
Tim looked at Bruce with those watery blue eyes that he was so weak against. But he needed to know who he was dealing with, especially if the man might have friends or superhuman abilities.
Who hurt you, Tim? Bruce repeated.
Tim sniffled and shook his head. Not allowed to tell.
That was worrying. You're allowed to tell, Tim. I'll protect you if anyone tries to stop you.
Tim shook his head more urgently, his face screwing up in distress. No, he'll beat me more if I tell, and they can't take me away. Can't tell. Something in Tim's words sent ice prickling down Bruce's spine, even though he couldn't pick out what it was. Something was wrong, and the urge to get Tim home immediately was only strengthened, but he needed answers if Tim had them.
Tim, Bruce considered. Tim was scared.
He wasn't just going to tell Bruce this piece of apparently terrifying information straight away, though, so Bruce was going to have to continue to play the game.
This is a dream, Tim. You're dreaming, remember?
Tim nodded in perfect certainty, not even for a moment questioning the validity of Bruce's claim. If it weren't for the situation, Bruce might have laughed. Bruce did huff a chuckle, though.
Tim, who did this?
Tim hesitated. He waited so long that Bruce thought he wasn't going to answer or had just fallen asleep. But then, in the barest of whispers, Tim breathed.
My dad.